Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from John 10. And we are especially going to focus on the words that Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful it is to gather to hear your word, the word of good news of Jesus, your Son. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to work faith in our hearts, and may that faith overflow in love toward others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in week four of a series called Resurrection Encounters. Even though we can't see the risen Jesus with our own eyes, that doesn't mean that we don't actually encounter him in our daily life. And so we've been going through a number of ways that we do encounter Christ risen from the dead. And today, we encounter the risen Christ in the Good Shepherd. Now, for many of us, the Good Shepherd, we've been down that road many, many, many times before. And probably, in a way, we become quite sentimental about it, quite idyllic about it. You know, we can't help but think of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, in which he's just, you know, holding a little lamb in his arms, and behind him are sheep peacefully munching on grass or drinking from a burbling brook right there, right? Sentimental. In fact, we become so sentimental about this that we can't imagine shepherding any other way. Maybe you've heard this well-worn story here about a group that was on tour in the Middle East, and they had a tour guide that was pointing out things and pointing out even shepherds, and notice, they lead from the front. They just call their voice, and the sheep followed them, and they're like, oh, okay, I get it. Until the group saw a group of sheep, except there was a shepherd that was in the back of them. He had a staff, but he was like whacking them and yelling at them and trying to get them to go, and the sheep were just scared and going all over the place. And the group said, what's going on? I thought you said that, you know, shepherds, they led their flock from the front, that they were kind and caring. What's going on here? So the group guide said, I'll tell you what, I'll go find out what's going on. So he went and go talk to the man, and he comes back with a smile on his face, and he said, no worries, that's not a shepherd, that's the butcher. Sentimental, right? When we hear, I am the good shepherd, we get sentimental. But the fact of the matter is that shepherding is exhausting work. I mean, yeah, you're trying to lead this flock by calling out to it. You're trying to find good pasture. You're trying to find water. And yet, all these sheep want to do, they just want to kind of go wherever they want to go. And shepherding could be dangerous as well. There were wild animals that would attack, wolves, bears. And there was also robbers and thieves that would try to steal the sheep. And the thing about shepherds, not all of them were good. You know, sometimes shepherds would kind of go to another piece of land and say, hey, go ahead, eat here, drink this water here. Or they would try and enlarge their own flock by jumping over the fence. So yeah, shepherding, not that sentimental. And yet, in our text from John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And as soon as the word shepherd comes out of his mouth, the people that he's speaking to, they know exactly what he's talking about. Shepherds were common in Israel. You couldn't just walk throughout the city and walk throughout the countryside. You just see them out there leading their flocks to pasture. In fact, one of our most beloved Christmas stories from Luke 2, one of the prominent characters is a band of shepherds who are watching their flocks in the fields by night, and the angels come to them and announce the birth of Christ. So they knew about this. They were common. But shepherds were also common throughout the Old Testament itself. Some of Israel's most famous leaders were shepherds. Moses, he was tending the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro when the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush, calling him to lead God's people. And then, of course, there's King David. David, before he was a king, he was a shepherd until he was called by the prophet Samuel, anointed king, and then he went and did the whole, you know, Goliath thing and all that stuff, yeah. In fact, the leaders of God's people in the Old Testament are often called shepherds. They're to lead and guide and care and protect the flock. Even God himself called himself a shepherd. One of the most famous Bible passages in the entire Bible, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And later on in Ezekiel 34:12, the Lord says, "I myself will seek out my flock and I will be their shepherd." So yeah, this is all common. But Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." So what makes this shepherd good? Well, here, Jesus actually compares the good shepherd with the hired hand. Someone that's hired to just watch the sheep, you know, make sure everything is going okay. He doesn't really care about the sheep. He's just there to make a buck. And as soon as danger comes, as soon as that wolf starts to come, oh, he is out of there. He wants nothing to do with that. But the good shepherd cares deeply for the sheep. And how much? He lays down his life for the sheep. And this is unheard of back in Jesus' day. If the shepherd died, the flock was completely exposed to whatever would happen to it. But see, Jesus is being a little more intentional about saying this because he's saying in laying down his life, the good shepherd is intentional. Not just merely risking his life, he is deliberately putting himself in harm's way to die for the sheep. And why? To save them. To save the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep and then incredibly takes it up again so that the good shepherd can be with the flock forever. Now, of course, Jesus is not just talking about shepherds and sheep. He's talking about himself as the good shepherd and the sheep, God's people. God's people had had many shepherds before Jesus. Some of them were good. You know, Moses, he led God's people out of slavery in Egypt and led them through the desert to the promised land. King David, he was actually a king that brought rest for his people. The enemies, they had fallen silent. They weren't attacking anymore. So yeah, there were a few good shepherds. But most of them were hired hands that did not care for the sheep. When they were in danger, when the wolf attacked, the devil, a murderer from the beginning, the father of lies, when he attacked God's people, the hired hands fled. They didn't protect them with the truth of God's word. They didn't feed them with his love and his care. They didn't protect them from the lies. Instead, they just left them out in the open, dead in their sin. But Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He lays it down at the cross, where he is crucified, where he bleeds for them, where he dies for them to save them from their own sinfulness, their own wayward ways. He lays down his life for them, and then he takes it back up again. He rises from the dead 3 days later, and everyone encounters the risen Christ as he is calling out in a loud voice, "It is finished. Peace be with you. You will not perish, but have everlasting life when you believe in me." And this is the voice of your good shepherd, who is calling out to you, his sheep. Now I know being called a sheep is not very flattering, is it? You'd rather be called like, "Oh, I'd be a Christian or a follower of Jesus or a disciple or a believer." Not really a sheep, you know? And yet, that's what you and I are. And not in some sentimental way. No, we are sheep. We get lost. We stray from the flock. We go off on our own little path away from our Lord, away from our God. And once we do that, oh, we are in danger. When the wolf attacks, when our sinful nature attacks, when the world attacks, when the devil, the evil one, attacks us each and every day of our lives, and we're helpless, we're weak, we're needy, we cannot defend ourselves. But Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for you and for me, who goes to the cross for you and for me, to save you and me from our sin, from our failures, from our disappointments, from our wayward ways. He lays down his life, and then he takes it up again for you and for me. He rises from the dead for you and for me. And then he calls out to you in the voice of the good shepherd, "You are forgiven. You are saved. You are mine. I know you, my sheep, and you know me, your good shepherd." So, sheep of the good shepherd, listen. Listen to the good shepherd. Follow his voice, and you will be safe. Because every day, when you and I get up, we go out into the world, we go out into our lives, and we are attacked by all those voices. Attacked by the voices of our sinful nature that says, "Go ahead, do it. It's all right, no one will find out. No one's really going to get hurt. It makes you feel good. Go on, give in." But the Good Shepherd says to you, "Your sin, it's gone. I took it away. I left it in the empty tomb. You are now free from it. You are now free to live a life of love to me and love toward others." And you will be attacked by the voice of the world that calls good evil and evil good. Or you will be encouraged to cancel as many people as you can. Or you will be encouraged to rake other people across the coals, judge them for their sin, not realizing that when you judge yourself. But the voice of the Good Shepherd breaks through that voice and says, "I am a God of love. I am a God of grace. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have given you new life to where you can bring grace to others. But probably the most insidious voice that you will be attacked with is the devil, the wolf. And his voice, it hurts the most. Look what you've done. Look how you hurt them. Look at what an awful person you are. You don't deserve anything good. You don't deserve any of God's love, of his grace. You deserve nothing but punishment. And that's when the voice of the Good Shepherd cuts through that voice and says to his sheep, Satan, be gone. They are mine. They have been baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have washed them clean of all sin. They are my sheep. They follow me. And I will lead them into perfect pasture all the days of their life. They are mine, and I will never let them go. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, what voice that you hear, what voice that you listen, take a deep in every single day. And then I pray that the voice that you listen is the voice that continues to speak through you. Just as Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this flock. I will call them through you, through the good news that you share, and I will bring them into my fold. One flock, one shepherd. I know. It sounds so sentimental, doesn't it? Oh, it just sounds so good. Even as we realize just how exhausting and dangerous being the good shepherd is, protecting the flock from the wolf, even laying down his life. But in a way, go ahead. Look at it as sentimental, because the good shepherd does everything, all of it. He lays down his life. He takes it up again. He calls you into his loving arms. He cares for you. He feeds you. He protects you. And when you encounter the risen Christ in this way, you have peace. You are safe. And you are his forever. Amen.